And the gospel lesson for today from the gospel according to St. John, we have been hearing Jesus speak about his being the bread of life, and that discourse continues today. Jesus told those who heard him, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever." This too is for us the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, let's just come right out and say it. Jesus is being gross. Jesus is being repulsive. He is being repugnant. This talk of eating his flesh and drinking his blood should come with some kind of warning about the graphic nature of the content of his speech. Talking this way usually gets you excused from the table and sent to your room without further dinner and certainly no dessert. Three times, at least three times, in rapid succession, Jesus says, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." Now, as Rick Morley notes, it is interesting that Jesus doesn't soften or temper his language in the least bit. There's not even a hint that he might be speaking metaphorically or poetically. He doesn't just say it once and then move on to other things. No, Jesus says repeatedly, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood. If you don't, you'll die. But if you do, you will live forever." Jesus drives the point home with clarity and repetition. And yet, if you're like me, his words kind of tend to bounce off. We hear it, we as people who are churched, and I think we largely let the bombshells land around us without much reaction. I mean, all of us know what Jesus is talking about, right? In this talk of "Eat my flesh and drink my blood" is talk about the Eucharist, about communion, yeah? I mean, we hear his words against a lifetime of hearing week in and week out, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you, drink from this all of you, this is my cup of the new covenant which is poured out for you." For us, Jesus' words have probably lost their offensiveness. But what Jesus was saying was, in fact, deeply offensive, both to those who heard him then and to those who hear him now. Indeed, my apologies if you are coming to church for the first time today, and this is what we give you, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood," because it must sound strange at the least. "Eat my flesh, drink my blood" violate something so primal and innate within us that we hardly have the words to express our repulsion and disgust at the very thought of doing so. But if we don't eat Jesus' flesh and drink his blood, we will die. Because the simple truth is, we must eat to live. Now, up to this point in the conversation, things have been ever so polite. Jesus genially inviting people to phagein, to consume the bread of heaven, to dine upon life-giving bread. Phagein is proper etiquette. It is linen napkin. It is pinkies up kind of eating. Things take a turn, however, when Jesus says that unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you, because we go from phagein, pinkies up, to trogein, which amounts to the difference between what a socialite does to a canapé and what a dog does to a T-bone. Trogein means to grind with one's teeth, to gnaw food and to pulverize it. Crunch me and munch me, Jesus says, and then if you do that, you will live. But unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Well, it's not a very pretty picture, is it? And frankly, it isn't supposed to be. Pastor Steve Garnes Holmes thinks that Jesus is really saying to us, eat me. Take me wholly and grossly into yourself. What else do you do with the bread of life? Do you bronze it? Consume me, Jesus says. Get me inside you. Let it be physical. Chew on my words and deeds. Swallow my insistent, inescapable presence. Eat me up. Savor the intense flavors of my trust and courage and compassion. Suck in the juices of my gratitude and my passion, even the too spicy ones. Roll my forgiveness around in your mouth and swallow it. All of it. Wash it down with my blood, my throbbing, living presence, the passion of my self-pouring. Have at me, Jesus says, I will become you. Let my flesh become your flesh, Jesus says, your actual body. Let my movements become part of you. Let the muscles of my love and honesty move you. Whatever I say and do, whatever I seem to be to you, Jesus says, take it in. Let my being seep into your thoughts, your organs. Consume me wholly. Let nothing remain of me that is not in you. And stop worrying about how it looks. Rip free what you can get hold of, slice it if you can, and gnaw on it. Take all day. Like beloved friends at a wedding, eat and drink, toast and feast. Don't just admire me, Jesus says. Take me inside you. That, I think, is the point of Jesus' endless repetition. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. And we want desperately to understand what exactly Jesus means when he says that. Should we understand Jesus literally? Should we understand him metaphorically? Is this a spiritual message? What do you mean, Jesus, when you say, eat my flesh and drink my blood? And so for 2,000 years, theologians and denominations have sought to define the Eucharist and what happens in it. And if time and your interest were to allow it, we could journey into the details and the differences in various doctrines of the Eucharist. We could debate amongst ourselves whether Jesus is truly present or physically present or spiritually present in the bread and wine. We could discuss transubstantiation and consubstantiation. We could dilate on whether the sacrament is a sacrifice or merely a memorial meal. We could do all of those things. But Jesus is less concerned with getting people to understand what happens in the sacrament than Jesus is concerned with getting people to eat. Jesus doesn't need us to understand the mechanics and the metaphysics of the sacrament. He wants us instead to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And Jesus wants people to eat him, because eating is fundamentally about being in relationship with Jesus. That's why we call it communion. To enter into community with, to be in mystical union with, to participate in the life of God. It's about taking part in all the life of God through Jesus' offering of himself in bread and wine. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, Jesus said, and I abide in them. And so what would otherwise be considered cannibalism is actually how you and I share in the life of God. For by eating his flesh and drinking his blood, we abide in him. It's a major theme throughout John's gospel. God's word becomes flesh, and it dwells, it lives, it abides among us. So when Jesus talks about him abiding in us and we abiding in him, it's about relationship. It's about our living, remaining, abiding in him. It's about a relationship that lasts, that endures, that continues because we dwell in each other. We have become a part of one another. Jesus invites us to eat his flesh and to drink his blood because they are true food and true drink. They are what food and drink are. They do what food and drink do. They give life to those who receive them. When we eat our daily bread, it courses through our body as it is digested, bringing nourishment to our lives. In this way, it becomes quite literally a part of us. And this is what Jesus wants, to become a part of us. And not just a part of us, but to have the whole of us. Heart, soul, mind, body. Jesus, the bread of life, nourishes us with the peace that passes understanding. Jesus, the bread of life, gives us a joy that knows no end. Jesus, the bread of life, offers a truth that anchors our knowing. Jesus, the bread of life, affords a strength that empowers work. Jesus, the bread of life, is that fount of love that encompasses all. We in him and he in us, so that ours is a mind through which Christ thinks, so that ours is a heart through which Christ loves, so that ours is a voice through which Christ speaks, so that ours is a hand through which Christ helps. Will Willimon says that if we want to have a life in God, we cannot do it by sitting back, comfortable in the pew, and coolly considering him as if he were an abstract, disembodied idea. No, we cannot do that if we want to have a life in God. Having a life in God, who in Christ Jesus offers himself as flesh and blood for the life of the world, demands instead that we get up, that we come forward, that we offer empty hands, that we sip wine and chew bread. For we must eat Jesus to live. Amen.